Kylan, the Warriors beat a winning team on the road. They actually did it. Mark your calendars, folks. January 20th, the Golden State Warriors, for the first time all season, have won a road game when playing against a winning team. And not just a winning team, by the way. The Cavaliers have the best home record in the NBA. What a win. Kylan and I are going to break that down next and so much more. Happy Friday, everyone. This is Locked On Warriors.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonNBA. You can follow Kylan Mills on all social media platforms at Kylan Mills, her name. It's that easy. You can follow me, Cyrus Otzes, on Twitter at Dog Surf Roadshow. Oh, the pup is in the background. I love it, Kylan. Great to see you in the middle of your chaotic schedule. You're calling who knows how many games as a play-by-play announcer, and you're killing it, by the way. But your first reaction to the Warriors finishing this five-game road trip with a winning record and, as mentioned before, beating the best home team in the NBA. Impressive, in my opinion. Your immediate reaction, Kylan.
Of course, it took 0.2 seconds into this episode, Cyrus, for my dog to photobomb us. I just love that. Yeah. Like, I hope everyone watching the show has just accepted it at this point. I am sorry. They will not leave me alone. But my reaction to this game is just, I mean, what an invigorating win for the Warriors to come into this game against a winning team, a playoff team on the road, so shorthanded without all of their stars, without the big three. You know, this win is huge, and I think it should give this group a major boost of confidence. And, you know, you and I, Cyrus, have questioned the depth of this team and some of the folks that are in that second unit. And, you know, tonight they came through. They came through big. I think Ty Jerome was fantastic. I know that's like a hot button topic on this show. Sometimes, people are going to love to go off on about side Jerome here. But I thought Ty Jerome was great. I thought he was great tonight. I thought Anthony Lamb made significant contributions. And I think that it can't be overlooked how crucial it was for the Warriors to get Jonathan Kuminga back. I know he had just 10 points, with which 10 might not look like a huge number, but I think he was making positive impacts on both sides of the ball and making smart decisions. So I just feel like getting him back was definitely huge for this team. I mean, getting Jamichael Green back was big. He at least had 13 points. He knocked down a couple threes, which is what I've said all season is what they need from him. Like, Green has to knock down threes in order to really be, you know, a positive on this team. And when he does that, he does help space the floor. And so he did that tonight. And I feel like the Warriors should be absolutely, you know, just invigorated and encouraged by this win.
I wholeheartedly agree. I don't think this is hyperbolic saying this, that this might have been like the best win of the season for the Golden State Warriors. I mean, again, look, Donovan Mitchell is out. He's the best player in the Cavaliers, but the Warriors were missing their four best players of their own.
Yeah.
And I mean, first of all, Jermichael Green, speaking of polarizing figures, I know Ty Jerome on this show is a bit divisive at times, but Jermichael Green, in generally speaking, has generated a lot of negativity. I mean, and like you said, he hasn't been hitting his threes most of the season. But while he's been out, while Kuminga's been out, while Wiseman's been out, it's been glaring that they haven't had size, right? Mm-hmm. So even though he was 3-for-5 from beyond the arc, which was awesome, I thought just his presence on the interior was huge. He actually gives them size. He's a legit 6'8". I mentioned in the preseason that he can easily play the five if need be. And given how small this team is, he was huge. I mean, but I want to ask you this, because on last night's show, I was solo and I finally had enough with these officials. It was something that I don't think was brought up enough during the game against the Celtics, a game the Warriors should have won. Then the two-minute report comes out today, which shows that I think five of the six pivotal calls in overtime at the end went against the Warriors. Anyone with two sets of eyeballs who can see even remotely well, noticed that it was egregious. And it's been egregious this whole season. The Warriors are first in terms of opponents' free throw attempts. they're last in their own free throw attempts. There is clearly something going on here. It's no longer like conjecture. I don't think it's no longer just something like a conspiracy. There is something blatantly going on here where I feel like the refs hate the Warriors. And I bring this up now because at the very end of the game, and I'm sure you saw this. Yeah. Jordan Poole was called for that offensive foul when I think Caris LeVert was guarding him and he was trying to intentionally foul Poole twice. For some reason, Poole is called for the offensive foul. They review it. The call stands. That was just utter insanity. Like, in your opinion, you're much more objective than I am. I'll happily admit that because I do love this team. What the hell is going on with the officials? And I mean, do you follow me at all? Like, is it time to raise serious awareness about this? Because it's outrageous what's going on. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, the NBA's report from yesterday's game tells the whole story because that's supposed to be the objective analysis as to whether those were the right calls or not. And they weren't the right calls. They didn't look like it at the time based on the eye test. And then you've got professionals taking a closer look. And that coming out today, I think, you know, sends a clear message. And in regards to today's call, I don't understand how that's an offensive foul. As you mentioned, LeVert was like intentionally trying to foul Jordan Poole. Poole was dribbling and he was like getting hit from behind. I just don't understand how you call that against Poole. I mean, I absolutely think that was the wrong call. I don't understand how you get that result in an offensive foul. Just based on the way that play shook out. Do the refs have an agenda against the Warriors? Some folks, kind of conjecturing that in the comments. I don't know that I'm going to go that far in the conspiracy, but I do think that the Warriors get called tougher than other teams. And we see it time in and time out, specifically with Steph Curry, like it's abundantly obvious, like, and it's been for years, but like in general, I just feel like the Warriors don't get calls. They don't go their way. I don't know that it's a conspiracy or just because they're defending world champs. I don't know what it is, but I mean, last night and then that foul call against Poole today, I thought was egregious.
Yeah, I love the comment from Andre, by the way. The refs, Andre writes, these refs need a leg infection too. Maybe they will improve. You're referring to Jermichael Green and that mysterious leg infection. By the way, I feel like the reporting pool covering the Warriors this season, you got to step it up a little bit. Like, why do we still not know any details about this leg infection? Like, what the hell happened? There was a wrap on his leg. We still don't know what's going on with James Wiseman. He's been out for like 3+ weeks, I think, now, over what was initially diagnosed as just a common ankle sprain. Unless you've heard something, it would be nice if the reporters did some reporting. I'm not going to name names because I always get in trouble when I do that. But generally speaking, like, come on, like, get some answers for us. That's your job. But yeah, Jermichael Green, kudos to you for coming back. And the officials, I think, are just absolutely insane. And before I move on from the officials, as Dean Fisasi wrote, we shoot the most threes in the whole league, Cyrus. We're not going to get as many foul calls. I've heard that said before, but there's also a lot of data that shows that Stephen Curry, for example, as his career has progressed, is attacking the paint a lot more. He's driving to the rim a lot more. I think Jordan Poole is the one who's not getting calls the most. He gets hacked left and right, and I never see that whistle blown. But regardless, it doesn't explain why the Warriors are being called for the most fouls. Like, they're also the number one team in terms of opponents' free throw attempts. It doesn't explain that, you know? So it just call a fair game or just stay out of it. You know, officials drive me crazy. When we come back, it was Anthony Lamb's birthday. Ty Jerome had a huge game. I want to give those two-way players love because they deserve it. But then there's also the issue of how many games they have left with the team. That deadline is creeping up, and the question of what's going to happen next is curious. And Kylan, I'd love to talk about that with you because I think that's a hot-button topic that certainly will drive out a lot of opinions from people after I give some love first to one of the official sponsors of Locked On Warriors, and that's LinkedIn. So if you're a small business owner, if you're a hiring manager, even if you're looking for work, I can't explain enough. As a professor, I tell my students all the time, LinkedIn is the place you need to be if you're trying to find work because of just how many headhunters are out there. And if you're an owner, if you're trying to find talent, you know the success in 2023, it depends on the team members you surround yourself with. And that's where LinkedIn Jobs comes into play. And again, LinkedIn has 875 million member profiles. So it's the place to tap in terms of resources, in terms of talent, in terms of the qualified candidates you want for your business. And LinkedIn Jobs, again, helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonNBA. That's linkedin.com/lockedonNBA to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen. After us, go check out Game to Game NBA. Every moment, every top performance, every result, Locked On Game to Game covers every game from across the NBA with local analysis that only Locked On can deliver. Follow Game to Game on Locked On NBA, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow Kylan Mills on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and probably a lot more at her name, Kylan Mills. Let's talk about Anthony Lamb and Ty Jerome, the two-way players who get more minutes than any two-way players I've ever seen in the history of the NBA. Tonight, they earned it. They had fantastic performances. This was Anthony Lamb's birthday. I don't know if he turned 25 or 26, but whatever it was, happy birthday. 12 points, two rebounds for him. And then Ty Jerome, though, I think really deserves the most attention here. He played 41 minutes tonight and had 22 points, 8 assists. How are you feeling about these two-way players? Do you think, what are your thoughts on them? Like, should they, do they belong with guaranteed deals? Yeah.
I like Ty Jerome's game, and I've been saying that for a few weeks, and that's one area that I think you and I haven't totally agreed on, because I think Ty Jerome can be an NBA role player. The problem is the Warriors have so many guards, and when Steph Curry's healthy, you know, they don't really have that need for a backup point necessarily. So unfortunately, I don't know that with this roster, the Warriors need to sign him, you know, to a regular deal, but I just, you know, at least not this season, to bring him into a full roster spot. But I like Ty Jerome's game a lot. I think he played great tonight. I just think he is a really high basketball IQ. He makes the right plays. He went 3-for-4 from deep. He hit shots when he needed to hit shots. He facilitated when he needed to. I think he finished with 8 assists, I believe. And he's a pretty high energy player. So I like Ty Jerome. I just think, unfortunately, with this roster construction, when it comes to adding one player onto a full contract, it makes more sense to add Anthony Lamb. And Anthony Lamb played well tonight. I think he has a lot of positives to his skill set. My only concern about Lamb is I think at times he's a liability defensively. And he's played well quite a bit this season, so I'm not trying to knock him. But I just think based on the personnel the Warriors have, they need Lamb size more on the roster versus Ty Jerome, you know, who's a smaller player running the point when they've got Poole in the second unit. They've got Draymond who can run the floor. They obviously, Steph Curry is going to play a high volume of minutes in important games. So I just don't think necessarily that his skill set is the right fit for the full way. But, you know, I think he deserves a lot of kudos for the way he played tonight and the way he's played when he's been given those opportunities and when Curry's out, because, you know, that's huge having someone else. And you know, Steve Kerr's talked about it, having someone. I mean, I think it's kind of funny that he calls like Ty Jerome and Anthony Lamb veterans. I mean, I feel like it's a little bit of a stretch, but you know, it is crucial to have a player with experience who's able to go out there and run the floor. And I think he does look like a veteran in his decision-making. So, you know, like I said, I just give him kudos, but if it comes down to the roster spot, I think they need the size more.
Yeah. And that's a look, this is courtesy of the Twitter account GSW Delivery, who tweeted, in terms of the number of games the two players have played, if you're watching this on YouTube, you can see the screen that I'm sharing. If you're listening, actually, I don't know if you can see it. Let me try to blow it up a little more. But if you're listening to the podcast, I'll obviously verbalize this. Right now, after tonight's game, Anthony Lamb and Ty Jerome, they're both two-way players, so they're limited in that position in that they can only play 50 regular season games. And if they stay in that two-way status, they're not going to be eligible for the postseason. So right now, Anthony Lamb's played 37 of 50 possible games. Ty Jerome has played 27 of 50 possible games. So Ty Jerome could theoretically pretty much finish the season out with the team, but if he's not signed to a deal, you don't see him in the postseason. And I don't know if that helps or hurts the team, given especially if he starts integrating himself as a you know, regular consistent member, and then all of a sudden, poof, he's gone in the postseason. I don't understand the logic of that. You know, same with Anthony Lamb. So, you know, there's 36 games to go. There's one open roster spot. I think we're all familiar with Joe Lacob's stance on spending money, although even that's kind of a mystery because he dropped $3 million on Ryan Rollins, who's barely playing. So regardless, what do you think the Warriors should do, and what do you think they're going to do, Kylan? Because it's a huge question, and it's a big old mystery.
I mean, I think they signed Anthony Lamb to that last roster. Rome, unfortunately, his days are numbered, and he stays on two-way, and I don't think he's a player we'll see in the postseason when that rotation really shrinks. You know, I also think Anthony Lamb, you know, a big question mark regarding what his role will be down the stretch of the season, surrounds how healthy James Wiseman and Andre Iguodala will be, because again, I just feel like they're so short when it comes to size, and that's where Anthony Lamb provides some reinforcements. But man, it would be great come the postseason if, you know, Wiseman suddenly came through and got in the rotation and was able to at least have some, you know, small role. Or they get Andre Iguodala back and healthy, which I don't know that that's going to happen. But I do think both of those guys potentially getting healthy and being contributors could affect, you know, what we see from Anthony Lamb down the stretch. But I think it would be great. They need him available because those two guys are big question marks. And so I think having Lamb's size in the postseason is going to be what the Warriors need. And I think they're going to sign him to that full-way roster spot. Unfortunately, I don't see a way that Ty Jerome gets in there. Someone just commented, can they waive Rollins? I mean, at this point, I just, you know, I see Lamb being the guy that's going to pick up that last spot. And I don't think there are going to be any other changes.
Yeah. And we actually have footage, an actual video clip of the Warriors when they approached Iguodala and asked him, hey, are you ready to go? How are you feeling?
Oh, my neck, my back, my neck and my back. Oh.
And, you know, so he can't play. It's ridiculous that he's taken up a roster spot. I love Iggy. He's part of the dynasty. He was there for all four titles. You know, he deserves a statue someday. I would not be opposed to that. But his body's just broken down. He can't play more than like two or three games before being, you know, on the injury report for hip injuries, for knee injuries. So, I don't get what's going on there. I really don't. And in regards to the two-way players, I don't think they're going to keep either of them. I really don't. I'm sniffing out that this is like a little like proxy war behind the scenes between Kerr and Lacob. I think Lacob wants his lottery picks. I think he wants to see those guys, and Kerr clearly doesn't. I mean, you know, like we all know how Moses Moody feels about once again barely getting any minutes tonight. I mean,
it sucks.
Yeah, he's made it very clear. He doesn't like it. What did you like the fact tonight that Moses Moody, just to give his stat line, and a lot of people in the chat brought his name up. We can talk about him in a moment. He played in 14 minutes, the most minutes we've seen in a while. You know, he had 3 points on. He had two 3-point shot attempts, made one of them, so he was 1 for 2 from there. He did grab 5 rebounds. You know, he was a +1 in the plus minus. I really wish we would see more Moses Moody. And in fact, I want to play this soundbite from Ty Jerome. This was in the post game with NBC Sports Bay Area. And there's a very significant reason why I'm going to play this soundbite. But first, let's hear from Ty Jerome, who again had a fantastic game tonight, and he was with the post game crew.
Talk a little bit about how you stay ready for these moments right here.
Just a lot of work, man. Whenever I'm inactive or out of the rotation, I'm just getting a lot of conditioning and getting a lot of shots up. You know, I went for about an hour and a half yesterday morning because, you know, I knew these guys were going to be out today on the back-to-back. So just a lot of work, a lot of preparation, just trying to stay ready all the time.
And Ty, you talked about the coaching staff. I want to talk to you about Steve Kerr, who is a role player in his career, a great role player. Talk about when he talks to you guys who, you know, you may DMP some nights in a game like tonight, come back and play 41 minutes. What does he talk to you guys about? Not only staying ready, but when you do get in there, giving you guys confidence, go out there and play 100% confident.
Yeah, I mean, two things on that. One, you know, I got a DMP. I mean, I was inactive last night, and then tonight he puts me in a starting lineup, he's calling plays for me down the stretch. So just the confidence that he has in me, it really motivates me to go out and perform for this team. And then when you have a guy telling you to stay ready that's done it himself on championship teams, you know, it's that much more meaningful.
And what stuck out to me from that clip is him talking about how Kerr has you know, expressed all this confidence in him, put all this confidence in him, constantly communicates with him, telling him to stay ready. And when we come back, Kylan, I'd love to get your reaction to that, because I don't know if he's if Kerr's giving that same love to Moody. I don't know if Kerr's giving that same love to Wiseman. And it does make me wonder that if he actually was doing that, would Moody and Wiseman be producing out there? I think they would. But I'd love to get your thoughts on that. And obviously people in the chat can contribute as well. First, got to give some love to Built Bar folks. And by the way, I'm not hating, real quick, I'm not hating on Ty Jerome or Anthony Lamb. I'd be perfectly happy if they were given guaranteed deals. I'm just telling you what I think will happen. I don't know, and I don't think Joe Lacob's going to spend the money. That's just my opinion. I could be wrong. I'm not saying I don't want them on the team. I'd be happy with them. I feel like they've earned their spots on the roster, so I'm not hating on them. But they clearly ate their Built Bars tonight. Anthony Lamb, happy birthday. I hope you had the birthday cake flavor, which is super yummy. Built Bars are amazing. Look, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. They're packed with protein, on average 17 grams of protein per bar. And at the same time, sugar, which is one of the biggest toxins you can put in your body, Built Bars lack that for the most part. On average, only 4 grams of sugar and only 130 calories per bar. People have told me they love Built Bars for that late night snack when they're starving, they want to sleep, but they don't want to, you know, add too many calories and gain fat, which it's a lot easier to do when you're eating late night. And that's where Built Bars might come into play. Whatever the reason is for you eating these yummy protein bars, they're amazing. And they're now available, besides being online at Built.com, at both Walmart and Sam's Club. So head to your nearest Walmart today, walk to the pharmacy section and grab yourself a box. Or if you're close to Sam's Club, run in and grab a 13-bar box with our hit flavors, brownie, batter, and churro. You can thank us later and enjoy.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. Or I was just reading some of the chat there. Kylan, your thoughts on Moses Moody. Forget Wiseman for now, because that's just a mystery. I have no idea what the hell's going on there. Like, an ankle injury is going to keep you out for this many weeks? That seems weird. But your thoughts on Moody. 14 minutes tonight. He's not getting reps lately. I think every time he's out there, I like it. I like what I see. And I feel like most of the people that hate on him are just doing so because they're just defending Kerr no matter what. What are your thoughts on Moses Moody?
I thought he was all right tonight. I don't think it was great. I think that he's had some better games than others. But I just think for me, it looks like the confidence isn't there. Like, he doesn't look as confident to me as he did last season as a rookie. And I think someone mentioned kind of the same thought that I had in the chat, was just that he looks like he's playing tentative. He looks like he's playing a little bit scared, a little bit conservative. And I would love to see him let it rip the way he did in summer league. Like, I thought we saw some flashes where, you know, Moses Moody really can dominate. And so, I don't know, it's hard. It's hard for me to say, hey, give up on him. But I just think that he's a player that his confidence is down, and he mentally is being affected by the fact that he hasn't been playing. I mean, this is a hard thing for young players to work through. And Jonathan Kuminga went through the same thing early on in the season when he wasn't getting minutes. Like, when he got those little spurts of 8 minutes, 9 minutes, 5 minutes, 10, 12 minutes, he looked bad at times. I thought Jonathan Kuminga looked lost early in the season, and I was concerned about his development. And then suddenly he starts getting these longer stretches, and now he looks so much better. And I just wonder if Moody can get there, you know, in a similar path, if he was given more opportunity to develop. My next question is, if Moody is not ready right now, what about giving him some run in the G League to get his confidence back up? Like, why not? Why not let him just get some minutes? Again, I think it's just confidence for him is going to be crucial. And then help him develop, because my concern is just right now for him. I mean, it was the same thing with James Wiseman before he did that G League stint in Santa Cruz. These players are not developing by sitting on the bench. And if a second year player isn't doing the things you want them to do, like continuing to sit night in, night out, and to continue to play scared and to be tentative and be afraid to make mistakes because you know you're going to get pulled, I mean, that's just, it's not going to do him or the Warriors a service by the end of the season. So, I mean, my question is, could Moody potentially play in the G League even just to try to get, you know, some of that je ne sais quoi back? I don't know what it is. But like I said, he just looks tentative. So, I guess that's just my overall thought.
Yeah, I just think whatever is going on, I'm sorry. Look, I don't agree with most of you who are hating on Moody. I didn't think he looked bad today. He wasn't great, but I mean, who the hell is going to look great in 14 minutes? The reason why I like him so much, A, first of all, if you're going to hate on him and say he's a bust, that look, you got to point a finger at Bob Myers or whoever's responsible for drafting him in the first place. And never mind the fact that last year, I mean, he looked good. He looked promising. The team hyped him up all offseason. He looked great in the summer league. He looked great in the preseason. All I'm saying is I strongly believe that if you give this kid 25 minutes, 14 minutes is not a lot. If you give him 25 minutes on nights like these, when you need his minutes, he will deliver. He never gets the opportunity. And that's the part that bums me out. It's just, this just seems like a mess. It's like, what are you doing with this kid? Trade him. If you don't like him, trade him. I just don't like the way it's being handled. I don't know. Any
Rebel,
other thoughts?
I think Rebel just mentioned something interesting in the chat. Let me see if I can bring it back up again. But, you know, I just think that, like Rebel pointed out, last season, Moody was a good defender last season because people are saying he's bad defensively. Like, what happened to the player he was last season? Like, he got a couple of runs, I think, solely for his defense in the postseason, like, during important playoff games. So, like, what happened to me? It's like he can do it. Like he can do the job. So I'm not disagreeing with people who say he doesn't look good right now. But to me, we've seen him do it and we've seen him play good defense. I think that he absolutely had some nice stints last season. So, you know, what happened to that? And to me, that's where it all seems to be a mental thing. Why, I don't know. I'm not opposed to letting him develop some in the G League. That's just
And I'm saying if the Warriors really just don't like him, trade him. Trade him while there's some value there, because what they're doing to him right now, just letting him rot on the bench like that. I guess I disagree with all of you folks. I think he's doing okay out there defensively. And I guess part of the reason why I say it is because as good as of a night as Ty Jerome had tonight, and I really, really quickly want to read a stat line, Ty Jerome in 41 minutes. I love his floater, by the way. He's definitely nailed that floater down. He was scoring buckets left and right with that. 22 points, 8 assists. But what I'm not a fan of is, and I was really getting pissed off at the end there because Kerr kept implementing this lineup that had Poole, who we could talk about in just a moment as well, DiVincenzo and Ty Jerome. Like, what kind of lineup is that? I do believe Moses Moody has a place on this roster where he should be playing instead of one of those three. Like the Warriors almost blew this game tonight because of that. Because Kerr and the small ball, and that's as small as you can get. Those are 3-6-4 guys out there. I don't know what he was thinking with that, but I think Moody is an upgrade if you put him in with those three. Like, that's just my opinion on it. But something's going on. It's crazy. But changing subjects real quick.
Can I add one thing to the subject before we switch real quick?
Yeah.
Cyrus, how many edibles did you eat before the show?
None. Why?
You're giggling way too much. Drop a line in the
Warriors
chat
won.
If you think Cyrus won. Looks like he's having a good night. I just wanted to mention really quick that a couple of people were commenting in the chat, oh, you can't compare JK and Moody because I made the comparison to Jonathan Kuminga struggling when he got minimal minutes early in the season. And I just feel like it's so funny. People get memory loss about how many people were hating on JK early in the season. Jonathan Kuminga isn't ready. I'm so concerned about his development. He's not mentally checked in. Like, so many people were so hard on Jonathan Kuminga and his play through the first couple weeks of the season for the Warriors. I feel like we all forget that. And I'm not saying that either Kuminga or Moody have similar skill sets or similar ceilings. Like, clearly Kuminga is an elite athlete and a much better, you know, athlete, I just think has a higher ceiling than Moody. I mean, I don't think that's any secret, but to me, it's the mental part for a young player to where getting minimal minutes, knowing you're going to be pulled after getting a mistake can result in playing bad. Like, that is hard for a young player to get through. So that's the only thing I wanted to say in regards to comparing the two. Like, yeah, okay, I get it. People are all like, oh, Jonathan Kuminga, JK is him. It's not the same as Moody. Like, I get that. But at the same time, a lot of people were questioning Jonathan Kuminga early in the season and whether he had what it takes, you know, just mentally, work ethic. There's been reports out about, you know, him potentially pushing back when people are trying to give him criticism, you know, all this other stuff. And he, you know, has had a fair amount of people question him, and now he's suddenly playing better. And I don't think that, you know, Moody could potentially, I mean, I do think Moody could potentially have a similar outcome if he had the chance to develop and had more confidence and had more run. Maybe.
Yeah, there you go. I'm not laughing now, Kylan. Shane West, by the way, writes.
Okay, they're not in the same class of player. LR, stop. Like, I just said that.
Just for the record, I'm legitimately sober-ish. Shane West writes that you. I saw your message. Walker Kessler, center for the Utah Jazz. I scouted him when I was doing my mock drafts last year. The reason why I'm not going to give attention to Walker Kessler is the Warriors are not going to go after him. I like him. I like him a lot. But have you not seen by now? They don't want big guys. They want 6'4", 6'5", dudes. That is their cup of tea. You know, Shams Charania tweeted today that Serge Ibaka, when we did our show a month or so ago, I don't remember when that was exactly, but we did a trade show where we went through literally every team in the NBA and picked out every potential trade target. Serge Ibaka was one of the first names we pulled out of the hat. He's reportedly available. He's not getting minutes with the Bucks. He still wants to play. So I guess apparently they've both come to an agreement where they're going to try to find a new home for him. I think, despite the fact that he's older, despite the fact that he's probably, you know, clearly, almost certainly not the same player he was, but I think he's a perfect fit for this team. Rick Barry and I, we did shows for years where we were just clamoring for the Warriors to pursue him, and he didn't want to come here for whatever reason. But if he's available, I say go for it. I think he'd be a perfect fit. Your thoughts on Serge Ibaka to the Warriors?
I actually would love it, and I think he would be a good fit. I'm not opposed to it. I mean, I would take it, and I've been hammering, you know, for a long time, the Warriors need to add size. Unfortunately, I don't think it's going to happen. I have very low expectations for the Warriors to make any moves. I don't know if you saw, I mean, there have been reports flying back and forth. On the episode I did last week when you were outside, I was talking about the latest report from Monty Poole, who's NBC Sports Bay Area's insider on the Warriors, that they were active in the trade market and they were, you know, maybe not necessarily shopping their young guys, but at least interested and open to taking calls and potentially just seeing what's out there. And then this week, Anthony Slater with The Athletic came out with a new report that the Warriors are not expected to make any major moves or trades. If anything, it would be, you know, some type of ancillary or fringe piece. So I don't know, that disappointed me a little bit. And for that reason, I'm kind of, you know, qualming my expectations. But for those of you who didn't read that, Anthony Slater put out a long report. According to that, they would potentially be looking to make a move of some type of fringe piece, similar to, you know, what they did a couple seasons ago with Marquise Chris or some of those lower roster players. Not like, for example, when they had the chance potentially to trade Kelly Oubre Jr. And like, there was a lot of discussion about whether he would be moved before the trade deadline. They opted no. They moved a couple of smaller pieces just to free up some salary cap space and some money. And, you know, that was kind of it. So that was the report that Anthony Slater put out there earlier this week. And I don't know. I don't know what's true and what's not true. But if I don't think a great fit is there, I don't think the Warriors are going to make any major move, unfortunately.
I saw that Anthony Slater report. I'm not going to take that like it's, you know, it's fact. You know, it is speculative. And then literally like right after he wrote his report for The Athletic, then we had Brian Robb of Mass Live, which is a trustworthy news source, saying that the Golden State Warriors were pursuing Peyton Pritchard of the Celtics, but the Celtics had no interest in trading him, which is bizarre, right? Did we talk about this already? Like, was that after the Monday show? I can't remember if we touched on that. Like,
we hadn't talked about it yet. But I honestly haven't really read that report. So
yeah, well, I mean, that's the extent of it. Is that the Warriors? Yeah. Okay. Because Peyton Pritchard is not playing much this year. The Warriors inquired and were like, "Hey, is he available? Like, can we trade for him?" And they were like, "No." And then that's that. But the point is that the Warriors, they do have their feelers out there. I feel like if the right deal is there, they're going to make a trade. I don't think it's lost on them that they might be a player short if they want to repeat as world champions. But Peyton Pritchard, right? Like, that's weird. Of all the players that they're going to pursue, they're going for like a 6'2", you know, point guard, shooting guard, hybrid type guy who's a terrific 3-point shooter. I think so. I don't know. What were your thoughts on that? Like, did that blow your mind a little bit, or
yeah, at least I mean, As yeah. we're just, it's the same thing as we were talking about Ty Jerome and why I don't think that he'll end up with a full roster spot is because the Warriors are loaded with guards and they don't need another backup point guard similar skill set. And yeah. to me, I don't know why they would look for another guard. Size. I mean, I can't say it enough. Wiseman and Andre Iguodala are huge question marks. And right now, in, for example, the game against the Celtics, in their, you know, bench, when they only go three deep because they're putting, you know, a lot of high volume on the starters' minutes, I mean, they're turning to Anthony Lamb, a two-way player, you know, right off the bench. And so, to me, like, help with the size, you know, get some depth, at, you know, in that regard rather than a guard player just in general. So that's something that surprised me.
Absolutely. And to wrap the show up here, first of all, I just want to give do want to give some love to Jonathan Kuminga, who has been out for weeks with that foot sprain. And in his first game back, 10 points, 3 rebounds, 5 assists, shot 44% from the field, made all of his three-pointers. His three-point stroke looked good tonight. How many did he hit total? He was 2 for 2 from 3. But this stat is what stuck out to me the most. And there's a Twitter account called Kuminga Muse, which I love. And they wrote, and he did all this in 27 minutes. But the highlight, the Warriors are undefeated when Jonathan Kuminga has 10 points and 5 assists in a game. Like I said, good things happen when Jonathan Kuminga plays. So kudos to Kuminga. I want to play this soundbite. Did you see Kerr kind of snap at Jordan Poole in the game? Did you?
I actually was wondering if we're going to touch on that because I have a few Jordan Poole thoughts before we go. But yes, I did. And I mean, in my opinion, it was necessary. I didn't hate it, but sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to play. So because Steve Kerr was asked about that, and I just want to play that soundbite real quick on Kerr's reaction on why he yelled Jordan Poole.
I'm just, you know, I'm going to stay on Jordan. He's continuing to grow and he's getting better. I think the last two games he was fantastic in terms of, you know, staying off the referees. And, you know, he got the offensive foul and then held the ball as he talked to the ref, and that was a delay of game. So, you know, I'm trying to get Jordan to the point where he understands every play counts and every moment counts. And so every once in a while I snap and I'm just, you know, I'm going to stay on Jordan. He's continuing to grow and he's getting better. I think the last two.
I think you started repeating there. Sorry. So anyways, and Poole had a fantastic game tonight, despite that mental lapse there. I think this was his ninth game this season where he had 30 or more points, finished with 32 points. His three-point shot looks like it's finally back after that long, miserable slide. He was 5 for 12 from beyond the arc. Your thoughts, please. Let's wrap up with the Poole party. What are you thinking about him?
I think he looked great. I think the technical, I mean, unnecessary, a little concerning. Just got to keep your cool. But something I tweeted that was getting a lot of reaction, and someone just commented in the chat, let's talk about Jordan Poole's footwork. I just am concerned about his continued blunders late in games. And this time around, it did not cost the Warriors anything, thank goodness. But like, I tweeted out with 2:45 to go, the Warriors were up 5 or 6, and like, Jordan Poole just suddenly starts flying down the floor with the ball, just flying down the floor with the ball, loses the handle, bounces out of bounds. And I just am questioning, like, why is he suddenly like panicking and, you know, just going crazy. And he seems to just like lose his composure at the end of halves and games. And this isn't, you know, we've talked about it in past games. This isn't an isolated incident. And then honestly, I thought it might happen again on the play that he got called for the offensive foul. And that call was wrong. But same kind of thing. I thought he might get out of control there for a second before, you know, on that drive, because there's just some times where he looks out of control and wild and he doesn't need to be. And like in crunch time, I just feel like he loses composure a little bit. So I don't know, not to nitpick because I do think he played well, but I think that's definitely an area that he needs to work on, you know, as the Warriors are going to turn to him this season in crunch time, you know, and they need him to come up with big plays. And he can't be, you know, just turning over the ball at the end of every half needlessly because, you know, it's right. just, it's unnecessary. So I don't know. Like I said, not to nitpick. That was just one thing towards the end of the game. I was just like, why? I'm like, Jordan, slow down. Like, why are you suddenly just going nuts? Like,
But I love that. His athleticism is awesome. He's so fast. I almost feel like he just hasn't really fully grasped his speed and matching with that. Mm-hmm. And and managing it. How did you feel about Kerr following last night's game, saying that he, and I think you tweeted this as well, that that he might stick with the small ball lineup in terms of that being a starting five, with Draymond Green as your starting center, with Andrew Wiggins as your power forward? What are your thoughts on that? I don't like it. What do you think?
I don't think it's sustainable long-term and in certain matchups. Like, I think maybe against certain teams, it's, you know, a viable option to change things up or to look to run the floor and to try to counteract, you know, if you want to test a team's transition defense, really push the pace maybe, because it is a fast and explosive lineup. Like, I don't disagree with that. I just don't think it's long-term sustainable. And my bigger picture concern is just, you know, sustaining the minutes that we saw from the starters last night. Like, I thought it was a good game against the Celtics that the Warriors should have and could have won. But I mean, should have if it weren't for some of those questionable calls. But, you know, that was a really, really high volume night for the Warriors starters.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know what the solution is, because that's, you know, the type of picture you'd expect to see more in the postseason. But like, the Warriors still have to win games through the rest of the season. And even in the postseason, like, 40 plus minutes is just a lot, you know? So it's just,
yeah, agreed.
I don't know. My concern is just that it's not sustainable. I thought the Warriors looked great, but they can't, you know, be pushing those guys, those older guys so hard, or they can't be putting in 40 minutes every night.
Yeah. And Curtis Alderetti writes,
I like this.
Yeah. Poole reminds me of a young wizard who cannot quite control his power. Well said. And haha, I totally agree with you here, who writes, his team is so much better with Kuminga. I agree. I think if Kuminga was there last night, they would have won that Celtics game. Such a bummer. That was such a bummer of a loss. But at the same time, what a redemption to win tonight. I mean, it just really evened things out, and huge game. I mean, of all the wins this season, I feel like the Celtics and Grizzlies were the two biggest ones, probably by far. Last night, even though they lost, it was a reminder that even on the road against the best team in the NBA, maybe they could hold their own. They should have won that game. It was ridiculous. You know, but to win tonight, where do you rank tonight's game in the regular season? Is it a top five win? Is it? I think it might be number one. I don't know. It for them to win this game was huge. Cleveland's a good team. I mean, where do you rank this game?
Number one on road wins for sure. I think maybe number two behind their win over the Celtics at Chase, because that was just dominant. They were struggling, and the way they came out and stuck it to the best team in the NBA, you know, or at least arguably the best team in the NBA, one of the best teams in the NBA based on the way they had been playing, especially at that point. For me, that Celtics victory and then this one have got to both be right up there.
Absolutely. And they won the road trip. By the way, for people to say this, I don't know. I've been seeing this in the chat lately. I didn't mean to play that. They almost went 4-1 on the road. That is true. I, for some reason, I've always been like this. When I smile, my eyes just poof. You can't see my eyes. And for some reason, people think I'm like super stoned. If I smile, they just do that. I don't know.
Iris, we're in California. It's okay. It's legal. It's acceptable.
But people have always said that in pictures. They're like, we can't see your eyes. And it's like, it's just, you know, when I'm like, when I just have a hint of a smile, they just like my eyes just kind of like close up. I don't want to tell you. Anyways, do we cover everything? Are we good?
Yeah, I think we're good. Someone said in the chat that apparently a Cleveland announcer reporter kept saying the Warriors three balls aren't sustainable. And look, they're not going to hit threes the way they did tonight every single night. But the Warriors can win in other ways. And that's, you know, something that we saw all of last season. So those Cleveland sportscasters don't know what they're talking about. Also, we've got some of the best three-point shooters in the league. So
Hell yeah. Look, the Warriors, I mean, are in your opinion, Kylan, how are the Warriors looking to you? Because I'm not there. I'm close. I'm not quite there in terms of predicting they're going to win the whole thing. I'm close. I don't see who else beats them. But at the same time, it's like, obviously there's massive concerns. First winning road trip of the season, first win on the road against a winning team. Where are the Warriors to you right now? Are they there? Do you see them winning a title? Are you still really concerned? What are your thoughts in terms of where the Warriors are right now? Let's wrap up with that.
I think it's wide open in the West. Like, I think the Warriors could quickly rocket to the top. My concern about just defending the title, are they deep enough, the size, and some of the other concerns we've talked about to beat some of the teams in the East? I'm sorry. The comments about you, Cyrus, are killing me.
It's outrageous.
Yeah, they beat some of the, I think I'm more concerned about some of the teams in the East, and if the Warriors, some of the issues that we've talked about throughout the season, if they're deep enough, big enough, all these other things to take down some of those teams. I think the Warriors could win the West, though. I think it's very doable, and I'm just going to sign off on that because I'm going to
say something. I love it. I love it. Dude, the people in the chat tonight, you're on fire. And this is what you're missing if you do the podcast instead, because we every live show, we just have this chat open. Everyone's engaging. So thank you to everyone.
Please share your suppliers. Someone wants to
know. Oh, no, you know what's funny? This shirt. Is that what's going on? I forgot about this shirt. This shirt. So I kid you not, down the street from where I've been living with my mom for 6 months just because my stepdad passed away. I haven't lived with my mom since I was like 15 years old. I mean, but you know, I've been here for 6 months. I'm moving out very soon. But down the street from here is like a Costco-sized dispensary. This thing is huge. I'm not exaggerating. It's massive. And they last time I was there, they gave me this T-shirt. So
I just regular. Occurred to me. They had like, to give you. They gave you a T-shirt. That's how
they gave me a T-shirt. Yeah.
Well, there you guys go. There's people commenting in the chat. There you go. There's the supplier name.
DMs are open. @DogSurfRoadShow on Twitter, folks. Bye, Kylan. Have a great weekend. Tell people where they can see you before. Like, you're doing all this work.
Yes.
What are you calling?
So this weekend, tomorrow, join me. If you get Pac-12 Network, I will be hosting pregame, halftime, postgame shows starting at 4:30 Pacific time for men's basketball. And then Sunday, I'll also be on the call for women's hoops, 24th ranked Colorado at Stanford. I think they're fifth now in the AP rankings, or maybe they're fourth. I can't remember. But two ranked teams going at it. And that'll be, I think, a 2:00 tip off Sunday, Pac-12 Network. And then tomorrow, I'll be on the desk in the studio. So
there you go. All right, folks. Thanks for tuning in. Go Warriors. The next play Sunday. Kylan, either you and I will do a show Sunday post-game or Monday. We'll figure that out. Regardless, there will be a show Sunday night, immediately following the Brooklyn Nets game. Brooklyn's in town Sunday. Good things are happening, folks. Maybe things are settling down for the Warriors finally, but that was a huge win tonight. Kylan, always a pleasure. And thanks, everyone. Peace out.